Let's go, girls.
You're listening to Eco Frenzy,
University Radio Nottingham's official sustainability podcast.
Listen live on Saturdays from 3 to 4pm on urn1350.net.
DJ!
This is URN
University
Radio Nottingham.
Hello, everybody. We're hoping you can all hear us completely fine. Welcome to Eco Frenzy.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah.
It's a very fun, special episode today. We've gone for something a little bit different, which I think you might be getting used to. We've been trying out a few different formats recently. What are we, can we keep doing to keep you interested in the environment? Because we all know it's a tough topic, and we're here to sprinkle the fun into it.
Well, yeah, as Over the Trent's recent comments on our Instagram that I asked, why do you think we've gone to IKEA? With a photo of us at IKEA yesterday, and they said, a worrying lack of content ideas. And I said, in response, it's really hard to keep thinking of upbeat content ideas when the environment is slowly being destroyed around us.
Exactly.
We try our best,
so
okay?
This is what we've tried. We're trying something new. So as Gabby's kind of mentioned, and the song before gave you a bit of a clue, we just listened to IKEA Date by Swimmers. It is an IKEA-themed episode. Not even Swedish. It's IKEA-themed.
IKEA-themed.
The wonderful everyday.
Exactly.
And is it really the wonderful everyday?
That is the question we'll asking, and that's what we're going to try and find the answer to. As always, we've got Georgia, Gabby, and Erin, myself, here in the studio. I just want to, you know, we could have some first-time listeners. My name is Erin.
Well, I'm Gabby.
And I might be Georgia.
You might be. It's
debatable.
Depends how I feel.
Depends on the day. So, yeah, Georgia, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about what happened yesterday?
It was very exciting. We went to IKEA. We went yesterday because Gabby couldn't take it anymore. She wanted meatballs.
Enough was enough. So I've actually orchestrated an entire episode of Eco Frenzy just so Georgia would drive me to IKEA so I could have meatballs.
They're just
my
favourite thing.
It was great. We all had meatballs.
We all had meatballs. So I had the meatballs. Yes. Georgia had
the plant balls.
And I also had the plant balls.
Erin had plant balls. How were your plant balls?
Delicious.
Incredible.
Georgia and I, as we were eating them, looked at each other and went, so much better than the meat ones.
Yeah. Like we would know.
You know what made me really laugh was when we both said the fact that we both really enjoyed the plant balls because it doesn't feel like we're not eating meat.
Yes.
And it's like, well, obviously we're not eating meat. We're both vegetarian, but still.
Yeah, but like you enjoyed it just as much as like I was enjoying the meat ones.
Yeah.
Like there was an equal amount. We all really, really enjoyed our lunch.
Yes.
Like it's the first thing we did when we went in and we were like, this is slapping. It slapped so hard.
So good.
It was also like the perfect amount of food as well. Yes. We all had a cinnamon roll, which was only 60p.
Affordable.
And it was a nice, it was just good. It was just good. Everyone was happy. Everyone could have what they wanted. And the vegan vegetarian option was cheaper than the meat option.
Yes.
Which I think we'll get into the specifics of that.
We will.
In a little bit.
We will.
Just teasing you.
Yeah, just teasing you with a few little sprinklings of what we're going to be chatting about.
Yeah.
But I think for topic one, Georgia's going to start us off with, well, is IKEA the wonderful everyday? What do they outline as their aims?
Yeah.
What are they doing for the environment? What do they say they're doing for the environment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this whole episode, we're just going to dive into the sustainability of IKEA. Like, that is what we're here to do. Because I think, I don't know about the general public, but my outlook is that IKEA is quite sustainable. They are working towards sustainability goals that are achievable. They're making big efforts towards them. And on that note, I will actually identify and highlight which goals they have said that they are going to be working towards for 2030, which is interesting because a lot of companies say 2050 because it's far away enough that they don't have to do too much.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can just sort of ignore it for a bit.
Yeah.
I do have my finger on the you've been greenwashed button, so we're waiting.
Oh, we're going to need it.
Georgia gives me the nod. I'll be clicking it, so listen out.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen out to see if we actually need the You've Been Greenwashed.
As I slam their goals and I go, boo. No, that might not happen. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, we know.
Well.
So, start us off, Georgia.
Yeah.
I think IKEA have got their got three main goals. Yes. With three subsections.
Three main goals with very nice subsections. So the first one is they want to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which on first reading I thought, what does that mean? Come on,
Everyone says it. Tell me more.
And I would also like to highlight that it was a little difficult to try and find these goals. But once I found them, they did have a full page on it, but it was quite hard to find them in the first place, which I would say is an issue in itself. Anyway, so yes, their first goal is to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They want to become climate positive, which means that they are not only climate neutral, so not having any impact on the climate, but having a positive effect on the climate, which is quite a nice thing. A lot of people don't aim for that because that's going above and beyond. And they want to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions in line with the 1.5 degrees target, which is this big target that everyone's working towards, that we don't want the world's average temperature to increase past 1.5 degrees, because if we do that, we are going over the point of no return.
And interestingly, one of my lectures, we've actually been talking about the climate. Ooh. And one of and so my lecturer came up, showed us this diagram that if every country that does what they've promised, they put all their actions into place, all the money into place, all the plans actually go through as they should be, we don't reach 1.5.
So.
At the current rate.
Christ.
And that's if they achieve what they've set out to do. We end up at about 1.7.
Okay, well.
Well, sorry, not to put a downer on it, but yeah.
Well, at least IKEA is trying as well.
At least, well, yeah, you know, IKEA is trying. This is only countries themselves, so when individual businesses take it upon themselves to do more than they're required to by law, that is what we like to see, and yes, that'll be what we need to push us down. And IKEA is the biggest furniture brand in the UK in terms of sales.
I would argue in the world.
Most likely in the... Well,
yeah, I don't know. I didn't look into
it. It dominates, at least. If not the biggest, it certainly dominates.
Yeah. So what are they doing to try and drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions? They're going to be using more materials and food ingredients with low climate footprint. So that to me says they're going to be trying to do more things locally and cut down on their transport emissions, because as they are a global company, they will be having very, very high transport emissions. They're striving towards electrification, which sounds very exciting, but that just means that they want to become 100%, rely 100% on renewable energy. And that is both in their shops, their warehouses, and across their value chains. So that means in their factories. I think they want to move to being using electric lorries when those finally become commonplace, etc., etc. And also promoting sustainable choices within their shops, which Gabby will tell us more about later, and transforming into a circular business. Woo! So their second goal is removing and storing carbon through forest agriculture and products. So they want to remove CO2 from the atmosphere through natural processes, and this is done by storing CO2 through better forest and agricultural management, and this is within the IKEA value chain. So obviously they use a lot of wood in their products. Every time you're cutting down a tree, that's releasing all of that CO2 that tree had stored back into the atmosphere. So think about all the trees that they cut down, and therefore all the CO2 they are releasing back into the atmosphere. So they're trying to not do that and store it better. And to do this, they're going to basically try and do sustainable management practices, but they don't specify what, which is a red flag to me, because that just sounds like...
Hang on, I'm ready. You've been greenwashed.
Yes.
I got caught off guard because I was thinking, we really need a...
It was going so well.
We need a red flag ident.
we do need a red flag.
I just had a moment of, I really want a red flag ident. And then you looked to me and I was like, wait, no, that's the signal.
Because they can say all of this, that they're trying to invest more, plant more trees. But the amount of trees that they're taking down... And the amount of time it takes to grow trees. It just... There's not enough really...
detailed
planning, which I would like to see, because if they don't do that, it means they don't have to stick to it. And also because it's a loose, like, you could say anything improves a sustainable management practice within forestry and agriculture. You could say that I planted 2 trees today, therefore I've improved it. But
so do they have actual numbers and figures on this? Because I find that if you're giving me numbers and figures,
yes,
then I can hold you accountable. And even if you don't meet those numbers and figures, at least you're being transparent about it. So is it that IKEA haven't been giving the numbers, or is it that they're just being a bit wishy-washy about the whole thing?
They're sort of giving the numbers, but their numbers are so hard to find that it feels like it's being buried. Mm. And that might not be their intention, but I would say from working within businesses who are really trying not to bury things and the strategies that they have in place, that it would be sort of intentional. Like, why do they not have these goals in a really easily accessible place? Why do they not have numbers? Why are they not holding themselves accountable, especially when they're striving for 2030? Like, it's a bit mixed.
Which isn't long.
And their final goal is going beyond IKEA. So they want to become climate positive and reduce their greenhouse gas emissions within the IKEA value chain. They're going to try and go further by taking on the responsibility for the climate footprint of their customers, suppliers and sourcing clients. So trying to enable customers to generate renewable energy at home, as well as transforming suppliers' entire factories or operations to renewable energy. So they're, and that's just like not always the parts that are used just for IKEA. So they're trying to go above and beyond, which is nice. But I'd say like the only thing they have proper numbers about is their renewable energy goals, which they want to move to 100% renewable energy.
Mm.
So, which is good. Very, very good.
That's what we want for the world.
But they don't say what types of renewable energy, so...
Interesting. And from your perspective, having worked kind of in and around sort of businesses, which we're not going to name right now, but maybe in a later episode we'll drop the name.
Undisclosed businesses.
Undisclosed businesses. Georgia does actually have experience. Gabby and I don't have the sort of experience Georgia's got in the insides of the... The businesses.
And there are things we wish that she could tell us, but she can't.
Those dastardly NDAs. Anyway, the question I was going with, which I haven't forgotten, is what sort of energy do you think is going to be the one they would rely on? Do you think they would go for like solar panels or something like that? What do you think is the most likely renewable energy they're going to push for?
I would say solar and wind. They're the two easiest ones to implement. Solar even more, like they could put solar panels across all of their warehouses.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to implement and has one of the lowest like payback periods, so it would be great investment. But considering they're Scandinavian country, they could easily invest into geothermal.
Because I would say with, not necessarily Sweden, but a lot of Scandinavia has, especially during the winter, very, very limited daylight hours. You know, sometimes it'll be 4 hours a day of daylight, depending on where you are. But I guess that then means maybe the strategicness of where the factories are located.
Yes.
So solar, as much as it is in most cases the easiest one, maybe they wouldn't actually have the energy to sustain the factories.
Yeah.
Hopefully what they do is that the energy that they, the use of the sustainable energy that they choose will be dependent on what's best for the specific place that they're aiming to use it with.
That would be
so hopefully rather than just doing like a mass sort of one size fits all, like you said, with solar for everything that may not work for everywhere.
Yeah.
That they choose, okay, well, this place needs it like this, and this place needs it like this, and hopefully that actually creates a more sustainable future. Because I think it's tailored to each place, because if you're putting in solar panels at a place that's not going to get enough sunlight for solar panels, you've messed up.
Yeah.
It's wrong. You're eventually going to have to replace it or rely on unsustainable energy, or at least a portion.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And talking of the energy goals, they did have recently released their sustainability report for 2022, and in it they said that 24 IKEA retail locations are using 100% renewable electricity, and this It's basically increased the amount of renewable energy that they are using across their value chain by 5% in 1 year, so compared to 2021, which is positive.
To be fair, 5% in 1 year is quite good compared to how little other places are doing.
Yeah, and they are trying. They're also one of the first businesses ever to disclose their outdoor air pollution footprint, which is good because they're not trying to hide stuff. It wasn't great. So for them to admit that it wasn't great is a good step. And they've also reached 15% share of recycled wood in their products. And their goal is to achieve at least one third recycled wood.
So they're on track for that.
Yeah.
But also track. It doesn't necessarily, I don't know if it does say what they're at beforehand.
No.
Because that's something I always find quite interesting is, I feel like these sustainability reports have become very commonplace in the past, I don't know, 5 years, especially the past couple of years in particular. But I want to know what you were doing before that. I want to know the history of it. Have you actually increased your use of recycled materials, or were you already doing that anyway? If you were doing that anyway, that's completely fine and that's great. But then I don't want you to tell me this is an achievement.
Yes.
Because if you're telling me this is an achievement when it's what you've been doing all the time.
Oh.
Oh, did it cut off?
Yeah. It cut off.
Let me try that again. Sad. And I segued that so well. You've been
greenwashed.
There we go. We're anyway, we'll get the tech sorted out. I reckon it's because Joe Banks just messaged into the show.
It definitely is.
Our head of tech, he loves eco-frenzy, but he doesn't want their tech to work. No, we're kidding, Joe. We don't think you had any part in this.
But yes, as you were saying, Erin, they make it difficult for you. Like, the only way you can see the comparison is if you then go back to the other report, read through it. It's like, it's why are you making it difficult for us to see your progress?
Yes.
And that feels like a red flag.
It does feel like a red flag. Yeah.
And just the final point before we move on to a song, because I think this segues perfectly to Gabby's section. One of their goals is to do with making plant-based food more accessible and reducing food waste. And they have increased the amount of plant-based food options by 50% compared to 2017, which was
5 years ago.
So in 5 years, they've increased the amount of plant-based options and the accessibility to those options by 50%. So,
but that probably also comes with a higher demand these days.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a big shift in the past 5 years on the conversation about veganism and vegetarianism anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about food is what we're going to be getting into very, very soon. Gabby is all prepared to take you through our walk through IKEA.
I'm going
to
walk you through IKEA in the same way that we walked through IKEA, spotting all those sustainable green signs. And what are they saying?
And if you want a little look at what they actually look like, we've got pictures up on our Instagram, EcoFrenzyURN. Go check it out during a little song break.
All our evidence is there. So follow that along as I talk you through it.
But for now, keeping with our Swedish theme, we're going to listen to Miami to Ibiza by Swedish House Mafia.
This is URN.
University.
Radio.
Nottingham.
Welcome back. You are listening to Eco Frenzy. It's a lovely Saturday afternoon. The sun is almost shining.
It's trying to shine. It's doing its best.
But we have been talking to you today about all things IKEA, doing a proper eco-frenzy deep dive on, is IKEA as sustainable as they're trying to tell us they are? And we started off, Georgia, what would you say has been a quick summary of the first bit for anyone who's just joining us now?
They're setting goals for 2030, which is good, but the goals are tricky to find and nondescript, which is bad.
Lovely.
Pretty much sums it up.
So yesterday, as a threesome, we went to IKEA and
stop giggling.
Yeah. And with the purpose of, so I have orchestrated this whole episode of Eco Frenzy because I want meatballs,
wanted meatballs.
You still want them.
I do still want them. I'd happily have some now. although I'm not eating in the studio, I promise. So we all plundered ourselves into George's car.
Ford Fiesta.
Ford Fiesta. And we drove on down to IKEA Nottingham. set the scene.
I'm loving this.
Yeah, I've actually done a very detailed, notes here.
I'm going to have to excuse myself. I keep laughing.
Leave me alone. I feel very passionately about this. We wander our way into IKEA, and what are we assaulted with? But their sustainability range of kitchenware. which, you know, includes, like, tubware, which you can buy, like, different lids to. So you can have, like, bamboo lids or just, like, the normal, like, clippy lids. A range of food clips, silicone replacements for cling film, which are great. We use them at my house. Which are microwave and dishwasher safe. And there's also a big slogan on the wall which says, create less waste and reuse it. So we saw that, took a couple of photos, and then we looked directly to our left and we saw the food hall and we went, let's have lunch before we do the rest of
this. It was about 1 o'clock. We went peak lunchtime. It was busy.
It was busy. It was booked and busy.
They ran out of forks, and that's actually a really pivotal moment in my IKEA experience yesterday.
Yeah.
Was having to stand there and wait for forks, then a guy walked over to me with three forks.
Well, yeah, just three. It was wild. So the food hall highlights its promise to reduce food waste, and it's got a big, massive, like a whole wall, which highlights this promise. Check out the Instagram. You can see a lovely photo of me standing next to it.
It's a pretty lovely wall.
Yeah, and it says, basically, that they're highlighting on reducing food waste. So they keep, record and analyse all of the food waste that they throw away to help adjust portion sizes to reduce that food waste. And this, I think, is something that we can say that we did experience while we were there. We all remarked that after our lunch that we were like the perfect level of full for what we ordered. None of us had anything left on our plates, which for me is quite unusual. I'm terrible at leaving stuff, not finishing my plate. And also that the affordability of the food must be mentioned. Like, there was a kid's pasta with tomato sauce that you could get for just 95p. And my meal of 12 meatballs, chips, peas, lingonberry sauce, gravy, a refillable drink, and a cinnamon roll came to just £7.55. Which I think is really, really good value.
Mm.
And it also tasted really good. Mm. And it was the perfect portion size. And as we said earlier, the plant-based meatballs are cheaper than the meat version, which is quite unusual. They're about 40p cheaper. So generally, on the food waste front, from what we experienced, tick, tick.
Yes.
Great. Good portion sizes, accessible price point, the refillable drink. Loads of options, tasted really good, an enjoyable meal, lots of places to sit, reusable cutlery and plates and things that get washed. You take it up to like a conveyor belt at the end. They have like a sorting point where you, if you do have leftover food, you sort it into the correct places.
And I will say those bins, I felt like were good quality sorting bins, because you get a lot of places where you sort your food waste into the different bins, or, you know, it'll be like recycling this, metals in this, cans in this, but they don't make sense with what the company is actually selling you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really struggle, and not going to name names, but there is one specific place I am thinking of, who sort of, it's a place at home in Luxembourg, but they kind of pride themselves almost on being like, oh, we're so like nice, and they don't say they're environmental, but they're like, we only use natural ingredients. But then when you go to throw away your stuff, it's like, well, I've got this like, I don't know, napkin that could definitely be recycled because it's got no food waste on it, you know, they gave it to me and I haven't used it, I can recycle it, and there's no bin for that, and you have to put it in the general waste. But then they have, like, other random bins that are like, oh, glass bin. But then they don't sell glass products.
Oh.
So I was really happy. And I know it's such a weird and niche thing. Of course, I noticed this. But I really liked the bin sorting system.
Yes.
It made sense for the products they were selling. And it was easy. And they were in front of you. It was harder to not put it in the right bin.
Mm. Yeah. They did. Like, you'd have to be trying to do it wrong.
Yes.
Like, you'd have to be trying to do it wrong. So we were all generally, I think, quite pleased with the food hall.
It started the journey off well.
It started the journey off well. So we then move on to making our way through IKEA itself. And you notice sort of as soon as you go in, obviously you've got the first bit, their first thing you see is their sustainable Tupperware.
Yeah.
It's the first thing. Go through that, all great, useful options, things you could actually implement in your daily life, not good price point, not too expensive. Lovely.
I got some nice clips for £2.
Yeah.
I got like 30 clips.
Yeah, the food so clips, happy. Which are just great. So IKEA's sustainable products are all clearly marked in green. But this is normal. A lot of the things, whatever shop you're shopping in, if it's quote-unquote sustainable, it'll be marked in green. But unusually, they gave quite a detailed explanation of how and why the product was sustainable. Ooh. Which is interesting, yep, compared to the fact that Georgia was struggling to find it when looking through their goals. So, for example, IKEA partners with global non-profits to protect the world's forests and to create designs that don't just use sustainable wood, but use less wood.
Yeah.
Great, amazing. Is in line with their goals. Why are they not highlighting that on their website? And yes, yet it can be highlighted on a ticket on all the items like around the store. So interesting one there, that it's very detailed when you're looking at the individual products that are highlighted as sustainable, but not necessarily as detailed when they're highlighting their goals.
Really strange disparity between, like, if you're in the store, it's almost like it's being used as a marketing technique to consumers. Because if you're on the website, you're not necessarily going to buy something, but if you're in the store, you probably will.
And it's not that I don't believe that they aren't partnering with global non-profits. Of course they are. Yeah. But, like they wouldn't be able to say that if they weren't. But, like, why are they not saying it on the website?
One other thing I would want to look into is looking at the consumer part of the website, so the product part. So if I go onto their website and I find that product on the website, is it going to give me readily that information? Which actually, you know what, I'll go look at right now.
Yeah,
I'll make Erin's, that my little mission.
Erin's on it right now. While I go through, that they also seem, so that's an interesting one. Everything's clearly marked in green. They do give details, like the tickets are quite big. If you have a look at our Instagram post, you can see quite a lot of examples of this. And then IKEA also seem to have quite a handle on the rising cost of living. They sell taps which use 40% less water while maintaining the same flow, and blinds and curtains which help to insulate against the rise of energy costs. So they help reduce loss of energy, loss of heat. Which again, it's nice that they're linking people and planet, which is one of their slogans that they've got on all of their sustainable things, is it's people and planet. So they're like, this uses 40% less water, which is great for the environment, but also great for your water cost bills. Like, it's also good for you to have this tap because you're going to use less water, but it has the same flow. The same with these curtains and blinds. So it's nice that they are linking those two things together rather than just sort of pushing something on that's really good for the environment, but actually just costs you money and doesn't make a difference to your everyday life.
Yes.
And I think if we're going to really get people using more sustainable products, they need to make a genuine difference to people's lives rather than just being an extra thing someone needs to buy.
Yeah.
Or an extra cost in this, like, in the current climate. That doesn't work. People aren't going to do that unless it's genuinely helping them. So, like, having a tap that uses 40% less water helps your water bill and helps the planet. Great. So this slogan of people and planet, I feel, is being worked towards. It makes sense that they're using the people and planet slogan on all of their sustainable stuff.
Yeah, and it also helps with that the behaviour change thing that we always comment on, that it's very tricky to implement these sorts of, like, water-saving behaviours instantly, because you have to change your natural behaviour. But if you're mirroring it with a really obvious benefit, which is saving money, that really helps.
Yeah, and it's just good for everyone. It's good for your pocket and the planet. We love it.
And that's what we want.
Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we push for a lot on EcoFriends. Yeah. It's things being accessible, being good for you, and good for the planet.
Yeah.
And if they're not all of those three things, they're not gonna be successful for the general public. So, there's a few other things. They also had a big emphasis on low-cost recycling systems and helping people with sorting their recycling in an easy way. And they also have lots of signs up which highlight the recycling system in your local area. So when you're actually buying all your recycling bins, you know what your recycling system is in your local area, so you can buy what you're actually going to use.
Oh, I loved that. I loved it.
especially as we talk so much here about how difficult we find the recycling system in Lenton, in Nottingham in particular, it doesn't make sense. Whether they highlighted all of that. So if I was, you know, furnishing out a house in Lenton, I would know, okay, what bins do I actually need to buy to easily separate all my stuff and make sure what can be recycled is being recycled, everything's going to where it's meant to go. So, you know, do you need a food waste bin? Do you not need a food waste bin? You could get all that information while you were in the shop so you weren't buying things unnecessarily.
Yeah, which is wild that IKEA can explain your recycling system but your council can't.
No, it's insane. It's literally like... Well, it just, I think it shows like how easy it can be.
Yeah.
And I like, I personally appreciated it in terms of that I live in a place with terrible recycling system. Erin, do you have an update?
I have an update. So, interestingly, on the IKEA website, it was a little bit tricky to find where it says it doesn't have like a sustainability collection.
Yes.
Which is interesting because a lot of companies do that.
Yeah.
And often we would say it is greenwashing a lot of the time. It is. It is just saying like, oh, guys, go look at the wood. They don't have that. But when you type into the search bar, I just typed in SUS because I just wanted to type in sustainability and see what came up. It then linked me to their sustainability sort of commercial, here are our products, here's how to, here's our products for you, for a sustainable kitchen. So I clicked on one that was an all-wood cabinet. It's called a Method.
A Method, everyone.
Sorry for butchering the Swedish, but Method. M-E-T-O-D if you want to look it up yourself. £75, tall cabinet, you know, 200 centimetres. Very classic. I'm just going to show the girls a little picture.
Oh, yeah, like your classic IKEA cabinet.
Yeah. So it has...
Nothing special.
Yeah, but it's part of their sustainability range because, as we were talking about, they're very focused on wood right now. There is no mention of sustainability and no green on it other than saying I can go click and collect it in store. When you click on the product details and you go to materials and care, it just says the material names and how to look after it. Same with the assembly, same with just their good to know section, which is just in things you should know about this piece of furniture. Measurements, reviews, nothing really says it. Unless you scroll all the way down past the related products, past the design it yourself button to make your own kitchen online, you know, that they have like a sort of simulation thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it says our take on wood, and it says story, our take on wood, and then it talks about the IKEA goals for wood itself, and then it's got another little thing that says what is particle board, which is one of the materials that they've got used in this shelving unit that is made from recycled wood and sawmill leftovers, and explains what that is. And then it's got some more functional information about how it's, this is one shelf, if you're building a kitchen, get a couple of them and you can fit your washing machine in here and do all that.
So it has got the information,
but it's not shoving it in your face.
It's not in your face. Again, the disparity between the website and the store.
But that is really interesting, actually, the difference between the online and the in-person. I quite like the fact that they're doing it without shoving it in your face online. I think that shows a little bit more than greenwashing. To me, if you have to keep telling everyone you're doing it right, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I understand making everyone aware, and we were very much inundated by the green splodges when we're in the shop itself.
Yeah.
I like that they know if you want this cabinet, you're buying this cabinet. You might not care either which way. And I could find their sort of sustainability range, but it wasn't their first thing on the website, which could just be the time of year I'm looking. It could just be they've already done a sustainability edit recently. They're now focusing on other things. So it doesn't automatically scream red flag to me, the fact it was that little bit harder to find, because the information was there, I just had to scroll down a bit. Because once you're already on this part of the website, I think they assume you're buying it, so they don't need to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I think it's such a tricky balance between what's greenwashing and what's hiding it. And I think IKEA maybe are trying to find their middle point between people accusing them of greenwashing because it's everywhere, and then also being accused of hiding it if it's not in your face. So where is that like nice middle point where it's accessible and there for everyone, but it's not, you're not being like attacked by it, which makes people like us suspicious because we've been let down by companies like H&M who really shove it in your face.
But it's, and just, they're lying. It's just that, like, having that lack of consistency for the consumer experience online and in store is intentional.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a mistake that a big company like IKEA would make. So it's like, I understand them not, like, shoving it in your face, but I don't get why the sustainability bit isn't higher up. Like, yeah. Why is it not just, like, just underneath where the, like, the picture of the product is? Because that's where the natural place it...
And when you click shop products and it gives you all their, like, kind of categories, one of the categories is, like, everyday essentials. We don't have... And one category is how to save energy and make your home warmer. We don't have a sustainability category, which I think they're missing a trick there. Yeah. That would be... That's the obvious thing that every company does these days.
True, but... Let me play devil's advocate just for a moment. Is it because they're trying to make all of their products sustainable, so they don't want a sustainable section and then a non-sustainable section because their goal is to make everything sustainable?
Yes,
I don't know.
That is a fair point to bring up.
Obviously, I'm not IKEA. I don't know. But are they? Is it that they don't want just a sustainable section because their goal in the long run is to try and make it the norm? That it's everything sustainable. It doesn't matter what you pick on the website, it's sustainable.
And
is that taking the choice out of the hands of the consumer who could choose to go with the non-sustainable option and just making everything sustainable?
Yeah.
I think that's a very good point. And also we see... I forgot my point. It was a really good point, guys, I promise.
That feeds into their goal of being climate positive, going IKEA and beyond... What does it say? Like, beyond... What's the goal? It was the third goal.
IKEA and beyond...
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say is no hate on IKEA. I love the majority of your products. You've done me so well. My current student room is all studio. It's mixed student and uni room. It's all IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
But it's all the same materials for every product. Yeah. This is what I was going to say. IKEA furniture is, as much as they try and differentiate certain things, there's a standard format. It's the same materials. It's the same sort of design for their basics. And they don't actually have a lot of things that come in and out of fashion. You just have a wide range of basics. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't really make sense. Kind of, I see your point, Gabby, and I think that could be what they're doing. Because there's no reason why, if they make this specific cabinet sustainable, why is there a slightly smaller version of the same cabinet using the same materials not?
Yeah. True. So it would be nice if they told us this. But, like, I think maybe that's where they're going. At least I hope that's where they're going.
Yeah.
One more point before we move on to topic three, because this was our favourite little bit when we're there. As you leave IKEA and you're getting to the tills, there is a section called the Circular Hub, which is filled with products that have been returned by customers and sold at a lower price. And while we were there, we could see hardly anything wrong with any of these products, other than the fact that the packaging had been opened. Basically,
I went looking for like problems. Like, there was a frame that looked lovely and it was half price. And I was like, why is this picture frame half price? Turned it over. There was a tiny little crack in the back. If you put it up, you wouldn't be able to see it.
It was on the back of the frame, or it's a set of two, which is now a set of one. But the one that is there is perfect.
Yeah.
In perfect condition, but they can't sell it at full price. So we really enjoyed that area, because one, it is accessible for people. They had a sofa, which I could see nothing wrong with this sofa, and it was about 250 quid less than its original price. It was amazing. And there was also, you know, we had a little sneaky look into the staff only bit, and it was full, and that there were staff also in there working on it. They were bringing new stuff out all the time. It was clearly an area of the store that's not being neglected. They're really pushing it, and it was really easy to get around. There was also lots of people in there, lots of people picking up a bargain.
You know what? It was too busy. There was too much choice, too busy. I struggled with my trolley.
Literally, we were struggling to manoeuvre our trolley with Erin's massive mattress topper around. Because
Don't we say why we went and what we bought anyway? Or is that not relevant?
Oh, we'll do that at the end. We'll do it at the end. A little cheeky one at the end. But yeah, so this relates to their circular goal, as to be a circular company. That if you do return something and it's not, you know, broken or defective, someone else can come and buy it at a lower price. And I just thought that was great. And it's also, you know, if you're on a budget, like I said, a sofa that was 500 quid was nearly half price.
Yeah.
I couldn't see a lick wrong with it, other than the fact that someone had returned it.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Taking
it was
things
green.
Out of the yeah, it was out, nice. Taking things that are destined to go in the rubbish out of the rubbish, selling them so they're, you know, still making money off of it, but making it affordable for people who might not be able to afford a brand new sofa from IKEA. It's giving yeah. people options, and I love it.
Yeah, so generally, our experience there was pretty positive.
Yeah.
But we're going to dive into that a little bit more for topic three. But for now, we've got another Swedish-based song, except it is the Mamma Mia version. It's Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
A Man After Midnight.
On campus.
And online. And
online. Online.
Online.
This is
URN.
Welcome back to Eco Frenzy. We've got our last little bit. We've got about 10 minutes left to tell you all about, even more about IKEA.
Which is, it's IKEA Central today. It's IKEA. And we're loving it.
Yeah, so obviously we had to have a bit of Mamma Mia. Not ABBA, we are aware. We've got our Swedish theme music. We know it's the Mamma Mia version, but
Georgia
someone, I was going to go with someone.
Georgia chose it.
Georgia refused to have the other one.
I'm sorry, I feel very strongly about this. I will not have the ABBA version of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme because Mamma Mia did it better. And I know that that's controversial, but I'm okay. It's my hot take, okay?
Yes. So we're going to do a little wrap up on everything we've been talking about so far. So if you've missed out on what we've been talking about, maybe you should, I don't know, listen to our podcast, which comes out pretty much everywhere. If you just search Eco Frenzy, capital E, capital F, you'll find us.
Yeah, and last week's episode and this week's episode will be coming out this Wednesday.
Woo!
We've had a very busy week. We've had a very busy week, and if you check our Instagram, you'll know why.
So one thing is, are the what we saw in IKEA aligning with their goals? And I think we've kind of already spoken about this to an extent. There's a little bit of mix match in messaging. Some places they're really pushing it, other places there's barely a mention. Their goals seem to be somewhat clear to an extent. They could yeah. always be more clear, but I wonder if this is just a watered down consumer version because they know people aren't reading their 500 page reports. We'll read the 50 page report.
Yeah, I think generally I'd say I'm pleased.
I would agree.
Generally I'd say I'm pleased. There's always room for improvement and we are three critical girlies because it's our job. That's why we're here yep. to chat about it. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, we all left IKEA going, oh, that's actually pretty good. And then before we came into the studio today, went, oh, it's actually pretty good. When normally we sit and absolutely rip places apart.
Yeah.
We've not ripped IKEA apart as much as we normally do.
There are just some improvement points that we would like to see. And I would agree that no corporation is perfect. But IKEA is doing well.
Yeah.
There's just things we'd like to see them doing better.
Yeah, and kind of like on that note, I have had a little bit of a look into some of their competitors and seeing how their sustainability goals measure up. Obviously, we haven't done a deep dive into these. This is just purely looking at their sustainability reports that they've put out in the past year or so. So I look at two in particular, John Lewis and DFS, because John Lewis is very much IKEA in the scope of what they sell. Obviously John Lewis sells a lot more. They sell a lot of games and they are very much a part of Waitrose. So
and
this
have a higher
is,
price point generally.
Yes. Yes, that is the other thing. There is a higher price point. So I'm going to ignore everything Waitrose as much as possible when talking about John Lewis. Just wanted to make that very clear.
Yeah, like furniture focused.
Yes.
What is equivalent to IKEA?
Yeah, and another thing to point out is IKEA sell pretty much only their own brand. John Lewis does not. Mm. So some of the John Lewis goals are based on the products they create themselves. So it's you can't quite say this is for John Lewis as a whole. However, starting with the products you create yourself is definitely a starting point.
Yes. And I don't think anything can quite be compared to IKEA, which is part of IKEA's selling point.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
So some of their targets that I wanted to mention and how they have improved from their 2021 performance to their 2022 performance is they are planning by the end of 2028. So that's another thing that's interesting. They've got specific years for different targets rather than 2030 being the overall target or 2050. So for 2028, they want 85% of all operational waste across the partnership to be recyclable.
Nice.
Which is a very good goal. In 2021, it was 71.7%. In 2022, 73.35%. That is an increase. However, I would like to point out there is an asterisk on that that says KPMG has issued an unqualified opinion over the selected data highlights in this table. So I'm not entirely sure what that means. They have more information on what that means, but it was a little confusing. So I think that is, it's 73.35%, but let's take that with a grain of salt. That could be due to recency. There's not quite the data because this is their 22-23 report.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes the most recent year, it's hard to tell, but still they're somewhat close to their goal. 71% is still a very high number, and a number I like to see. Some other really interesting things I thought was that John Lewis wants to have all product categories have a buyback or take back solution by 2025. Currently, there are 4 out of their 10 categories have that. Again, I'm not going too much in depth on all the things, but
that's quite good though, because that's similar to IKEA's circular hub area.
Yeah.
Of the thing, they're having a buyback or a take back scheme for it, so they're, you know, moving in the sort of the same circles.
Yes. And the last couple of things I want to highlight with John Lewis itself is their sofa reuse scheme, which is similar to this circular hub that we saw in IKEA. So what John Lewis does is, for the past 10 years, they have donated over 53,000 sofas to Reuse Network, which is a charity to alleviate furniture poverty. So these are sofas that are still usable. They go to this charity and then the charity distributes them as they see fit. So that's a really interesting thing and a great reuse, and that is what we're talking about with the circular economy, is we want to keep reusing. They also have launched a circular fund very recently, and so far I believe have spent £1 million funding trailblazing initiatives to promote the circular economy, which again sounds great. We are a bit cut for time, which is why I'm rushing through these quite a lot. And I can see Gabby and Georgia keep wanting to say something like, wait, let me just get this one last thing out and then we'll do a little John Lewis thing. And the last thing that I thought was really interesting is they mentioned the challenges. So general challenges that John Lewis are facing, which was different to the Waitrose ones. So it wasn't an all together. And I really liked the same report, but they split up the two businesses. Is the growth of online shopping. And I think that's a really interesting point to make, actually. The fact that with the growth of online shopping, it's made it harder to reduce packaging because you're shipping so much more things.
Yeah.
And removing the packaging can actually result in product damage, which then is creating more waste.
Yeah.
So needing to find a good balance there. They didn't say more than this is a big issue for us right now that we're trying to tackle and come up with innovative ways for. That was kind of where they ended with that, but it was a short paragraph, but at least I appreciate it was there with some of their other challenges they've been facing. So John Lewis seems like it's very much on par with IKEA, with the information it's giving, with its ideas, doing very similar things. So as much as I haven't been in John Lewis in a long while, it's been a few months, probably since before Christmas, overall, looking at their website, their presence there seems to be very similar to that of IKEA.
Yeah, which I suppose is a good sign for IKEA as well. If they're both sort of moving in similar circles and doing similar things, it's likely then that those things are what is necessary and what's needed. They're not competing against each other. They're actually working together.
Yeah.
Well, not officially working together, but they're, you know, bringing into the mainstream the idea of circular hubs and things like that, which is a really positive way, both for, like you said, people living in furniture poverty, but also for the environment.
Yes.
It's people and planet. That IKEA thing, again, is people and planet.
I don't really have time to go into DFS as much as I did John Lewis, but theirs was not looking so fun. It was very generic, very not giving me numbers, hard to find, not up to date.
The general issues we do seem to have.
The feeling that... things.
Hang on. My mouse is stuck. You've been greenwashed. That really was my feeling with it, because they had some stuff on the website, but it wasn't giving me links to longer articles. It was a paragraph. And if you're giving me one singular paragraph with a picture of a rainforest, that's a greenwashing to me.
Yep.
So I think quickly to sum it up.
Rather than final thoughts,
we're summing up.
We'll do a little checkout. What do we have at the checkout?
Oh, final checkout.
The final checkout. I bought a under the bed storage bin, which has made me unbelievably happy.
In what colour?
In forest green.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Eco-frenzy green.
Yeah. I bought three candles because I have a candle problem. Love a candle.
I would like to say you bought two big candles and a pack of like 50 tea lights.
Leave me alone, Erin.
It wasn't three candles.
Okay, it was
53
candles. It was 52 candles. One of the big packs of Dime chocolates and some Loganberry cordial.
Lovely.
Erin, what did you buy?
Lingonberry.
Lingon. Every time.
You spent the whole day going, I don't know how to say it.
I still can't. I own it and I can't say it.
I got some of the plant balls that we had there and some of their other brand, their other style plant balls, which have just vegetables in them in a ball shape. I got my mattress topper, as we mentioned, and a new pillow. Got some bedding. Very much, I need to go to sleep. Oh, and also, as we also mentioned a little bit earlier, I did get clips so I can start clipping up my open packages a little bit better to make food last a little bit longer.
Yeah. Get those cinnamon rolls.
Post-dissertation
rolls. Naps and snacks from Erin. What did you get, Georgia?
You've got 4 seconds.
I got a picture frame.
You did?
I got a picture frame, which I have hung, which is very exciting.
She's done it already.
I got some bedding, and I got plant balls, mash, and lingonberry sauce and elderflower cordial so that I can recreate the meal I had yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The meal, drink and all.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today. And you know what? I really wish with the environment you could just wake me up when all the problems were over.
So true. So this is Wake Me Up by Avicii.